This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio Ignition. Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio, we are back. We are now back. What's up, WFO Universe? I am Joe Costello, and for the next however long, we will spend a little time together talking about motorsports and the world that we live in, and what exactly we expect from one another for the rest of our lives. I really don't know what I'm saying here at the start of this show. I'm still on, like, mind cloud from this past weekend of all the racing, starting off with the Grand Prix of Monaco and the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 and NHRA at Kansas and just everything, all of it. It was outrageous. It was unbelievable. And we had a great time, and there's a lot to get into, and so without further ado, we'll bring in Giovanni from Miami, who's, you're fighting the cables, man. You're fighting the cables. I don't understand. What's with the battling of the cables here? What's going on?
Well, that's what you get for reconfiguring my area.
You're right, but I mean, it's just, there's two wires. They were there last week. They're there this week. And what's different?
I have no idea what's different. I haven't touched anything.
And then why can't you figure it out? You're like wrestling this thing. You're like running, you know, going up to King Kong fighting that giant snake. You got to rip its mouth apart. That's the way to do it.
You're thinking Anaconda?
Yes, Anaconda, exactly. It doesn't want none, unless you've got buns, hun. So, let's start off where it all matters. We could work backwards. We could start off from the Kansas Nationals, or we could start from the beginning with the Grand Prix of Monaco. I can tell you I had an excellent Memorial Day weekend. I watched all kinds of great WW2 and HD and just all kinds of, like, military, veteran-based, war-based giant maps, watching the, you know, the swastika move throughout Europe, you know, that map that always happens as the Blitz was going on, and of course then D-Day and everything. It was, it's become a great tradition of mine. I love the fact that all the different cable channels show just great story after great story that have to do with the military campaigns of the past. Great stuff, but also the racing is going on all in between. And I guess we could start off with Kansas and the NHRA Nationals there, because something is very vital that is going on, and we need your participation. Erica Enders-Stevens won the race in Pro Stock, and she was on NHRA Nitro yesterday. You can listen right now by clicking NHRA Nitro. You can hear Erica. It was kind of an interesting situation. The situation is such that we're doing these question and answer sessions with the stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And, yeah, I guess you could go out to an event, walk up to the driver and ask them your question, and that happens all the time. But as a member of the WFO Radio audience, you get this opportunity to call in your questions. It was Ron Capps a couple of weeks ago. This time, it's going to be Erica Enders. So I spoke with Erica, and I was like, Erica, would you be up for answering questions from the WFO Radio audience if they call them in? And she was absolutely into it. She was, but we're still doing the interview on Nitro. Yes, absolutely, the interview that you've earned, of course, which initially I had thought that we would just have her on next week. But it felt really cool that she wanted to be on this week's show. So Erica is going to be on this week's show. She was already on. She's going to be on next week's show, doing a question and answer from the WFO Radio audience. So here's the deal, WFO Radio audience. You need to call in some questions. As of this moment, we have a few questions for Erica Enders. We need more questions. And I think the people who did a good job asking questions of Ron Capps laid the groundwork or poured the foundation for people to understand what kind of questions for Erica Enders. Fun stuff. The one for Caps that was really cool, that put him totally on the back foot, was If you were taking me out to dinner with five personalities from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, who would they be? Who are the most interesting people? And Caps was like, whoa, that's a cool question. I know some people want to know about Erica's driving, and some people want to know about whatever. But your opportunity to call in and ask any question of a reigning Mellow Yellow Pro Stock champion who happens to be a superstar in drag racing, has won three of the last four events, that is absolutely in fuego at the moment. She's going to take time out of her schedule to answer questions from the WFO radio audience. Well, let's get it on. Let's ask some questions that are fun, entertaining. Here's the deal. Here's the timing of the whole deal. You're right, Gio. The studio is askew. We're just not adjusted. We're not adjusted properly. But we did a lot of work in here. The WFO line works just like a voicemail anytime, day or night. It is waiting for you right now. You can pick up your phone and dial 954-889-6796 and leave your message for Erica Enders. Hey, my name is Frankie. My question for Erica is this. And you ask your question. And if our WFO radio audience fails us, then maybe we won't do. Could you hear me threatening? Don't make me come back there. Don't make me come back there. The way I look at it is that the question and answer sessions are going great. We want them to be fun and exciting for the drivers so that they want to continue doing it. So lay it on me. We're going to talk with Erica. We're going to play the questions for her Thursday afternoon. And you're saying, well, why don't we have till next week to do it? And the answer is, I'm going out of town this weekend to a far-off distant place, and we'll be returning on Monday, and I want to build in some extra time to make sure everything's done. So when you hear this, call in your questions for Erica Enders. Make them funny and entertaining, or else you'll be banned from the WFO radio audience by us. Gio, do you think I was, convincing?
Nah.
I should be more authoritative?
Yes, like you mean it.
I mean, I don't know what to say other than that. To tell people that, listen, here's the deal. Do you like WFO radio? Has our Meerkat session started, incidentally? Rich and Saugus tells me, he's like, aren't you signed on? Rich and Saugus is like, you should try scheduling a Meerkat session. It hasn't started yet?
No, not yet. Well,
it should be starting any
second. I'm not signed on. I have my phone on, and I...
Well, watch. It should
send
alert.
A push
maybe.
At some point, but yeah.
I have scheduled a Meerkat session for at some point during this broadcast.
For it to just come on all on its own.
I don't know exactly how it works. So we'll see.
It's an experiment.
But it is an experiment. It's all an experiment. WFO radio is an experiment. And we're going to close this thing down. We're going to shut it down and never show up ever again. I'll go get a job like Tommy Noodles at Best Chevrolet. Giovanni will go work with Rich York and Ed Hendrick Volkswagen, and we will just shut this thing down if we don't get a whole bunch of great questions from Erica Enders, for Erica Enders.
I don't really want to move to Carolina.
That's a big threat. I just, like, threatened the audience.
It's kind of cold up
Hopefully
there.
They get the fact that we're not going to do either of those two things, but we really want to make sure we have some fun, exciting, and good questions for Erica. I feel like we have done a competent job in letting the audience members know. And we'll see how they respond. That's it. There it is. Moving on. Now, the phones are open, technically. So someone might be calling to talk to us, and then they might want to leave a question for Erica. You know, who knows what's going to happen? It's all going to be... they'll be listening to this later. And so hopefully we won't have that problem. But let's get into a little racing. Let's start off with the Grand Prix of Monaco. Nico Rosberg enters the most incredible exclusive club. Ayrton Senna, Alain Prost, Graham Hill. Drivers, the first driver since Senna to win three Grand Prix of Monaco in a row. An incredible club, Nico Rosberg, proving the great driver that he is.
Winning back-to-back races for the first time in his career.
Now he has won back-to-back races.
Wow, this guy
races.
Is just coming on like gangbusters.
Now he has cut the lead of Lewis Hamilton down to a mere 10 points.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. That is the story of the race that you might read on paper 10 or 15 years from now. But anybody who watched the race, and all that is true, because in the end, the only thing that matters is who won. But in reality, Lewis Hamilton had a 24-second lead with 15 laps to go. And Gio's young talent, the driver he picked, Max Verstappen, in an incredible in-car camera shot live on TV. How often does that happen? That they're like, let's go to this in-car camera shot, and the guy just crashes hard. It was an intense crash. Verstappen gets brake checked, goes over the... who was that? Was that Bottas?
No, Grosjean.
It was Grosjean?
You think Grosjean brake checked him, right? Because that's what it felt like to me. Like, okay, the kid
Kid
made a ballsy move, maybe an unrecommended move in a spot that he shouldn't have been doing. But it did appear that he was right on the guy, and Grosjean might have just, you know, been a little annoyed with the kid back there too close. And
it definitely happened very quickly. Whatever it was, it happened quick.
Like, he made a Grosjean move. Stopped, and Verstappen didn't, and basically ran him over.
Ran him over, and then...
and got well, he got out of the way. He didn't quite
launched
run him over.
Launched into the wall, and that brought out the safety car. Verstappen, incidentally, got a two-point penalty and a five-spot grid penalty for the next race in Canada. So the stewards felt like he was overly aggressive on that move. It didn't work out, clearly. But when that happened, the safety car is deployed, which is known to happen at Monaco. Lewis Hamilton has the lead, and inexplicably, they pit him. Nico stays out. Vettel stays out.
Well, the field stays out. Everybody stays
Hamilton
out.
Comes down, gets tires, comes out third. That's how it ends. And it was a nightmare to be watching on NBC because they just said, well, that's the Grand Prix of Monaco. See ya. And it was gone.
EPL soccer for all y'all the rest of the day. Have
channels.
Fun. Enjoy it. We're going to show you every single soccer game being played live right now on every single NBC channel
yes.
in the universe.
Is that FIFA?
No, it's EPL, English Premier Soccer.
English
I mean,
Premier.
I don't know
do
who is the governing body, but as far as I know, FIFA is the governing body of all soccer.
Sneaky types. As you probably have heard at some point throughout the day, that there was a big bust with FIFA and various corruption. I'm learning more about it every minute. A new piece of information comes out. But in the end, Lewis Hamilton looked like someone had reached into his chest cavity and pulled out his heart and squeezed it. I couldn't help but feel horrible for the guy. He just signed this $150 million deal, so I can't feel that horrible for him. But he had won the race. They lost it for him. His crew, his team, they should have never called him into the pits. Now, since that moment, a lot has happened. They talked to Lewis on the podium afterwards. He handled himself like a pro. In fact, over and above, they asked him, you know, what are you going to do now? He goes, try to come back and win next year. The guy said all the right answers, even though he was absolutely stewing on the inside. I don't think any one of us can possibly understand the kind of feeling he had. It's like, what's it like? There's no analogy. I was going to try to compare it like you and your buddy are out getting beers and you're talking to this girl and she's liking you and you're getting a long way and everything's good is happening. And then, you know, you go to the bathroom and she leaves with your buddy. But it's not even close to that. This is a million times worse than that. He led the whole race. He was dominating. He's dominated his foe. And his team called him in for a pit stop, and he's like, okay, he listens, and he comes down. Now, since then, some people have said that, oh, Lewis radioed that he had to pit. All I know is that Niki Lauda and Toto Wolff, they're at the top over there. They both accepted the blame. Lauda was incredulous about how they made a horrific mistake. Toto Wolff, not quite as incredulous, but basically said that they blew it. That they listened to their technology too much. Their technology told them that they had enough of a gap, but they did not.
Basically, that they're claiming the data was wrong.
The data was wrong.
Wrong.
Right. they needed 23 seconds and they had 21 seconds or whatever. But in the end, some people are blaming Lewis Hamilton for saying, for not vetoing the team.
I don't know about that, because then at that point, now he's not going to listen to team orders anymore. Now he's a renegade driver.
Well,
they say pit, he said no.
At some point, you got to consider that now, especially in the future for Lewis Hamilton. The lesson that you now learned, if this happened again next week, would he listen to them?
Well, but now
from the
that's
lead
the
at Monaco next year, he's leading with however many laps to go, not very many.
He didn't have a reason before this to say, why would they pit me?
But now
but
he
now
does.
They're, you're right.
Incompetent.
Now incompetent.
You've heard of NASCAR drivers very often, you know, going on two tires as opposed to four tires, or not pitting, pitting.
Didn't Kevin Harvick make the call to take two instead of four, and it ended up being not the right call, and
feeling,
Brad K-1?
Feeling empowered to make the decision. This is a big moment for Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton is a super mega star, and maybe he is now has to become bigger than his team because they blew it for him. And the idea that he should just be okay with it, which I don't think anybody thinks that, but how do you just blow this off? Write it off. Forget about it. How do you? That forever, Nico Rosberg will be spoken about amongst Ayrton Senna, Alain Prost, and Graham Hill as a three-time winner, when the real true facts are that Lewis Hamilton had this race won and his team through total incompetence. Just one moment of incompetence.
Yeah, no, a split-second decision of incompetence.
Right. But doesn't matter. The whole thing, the whole year, the whole season, winning the Grand Prix of Monaco is a huge deal.
It is.
And it's gone. Oh, it's gone. It reminds me of that Twilight Zone. I think it was the Twilight Zone. I don't even know, but it had a great effect on me as a child. And I think about these things all the time. There are these kids, and they live on this other planet, apparently. And on this planet, it rains all the time. The sun never comes out. There is no sun. They showed this to us in elementary school, just so you, in case you're wondering how they warped our minds. Get a load of this. I don't even know what it is or where it came from. I think it's maybe Twilight Zone or Alfred Hitchcock or something, one of those things to manipulate you. But the kids are in school, and only once every, like, 50 years does the sun come out. And today is the day that the sun is going to come out, and they're all, you know, preparing for it. And this one little girl is like, yeah, the sun's coming out. And all the mean kids are like, no, it's not. It's going to rain, and it's not coming. We're going to lock you in this closet. And then the sun comes out, and they all go out and play, and they forget her in the closet. And then they all come back in, and they're like, wow, that was great, the sun. Hey, where's Becky? Oh, yeah, that's right. We locked her in the closet, and she totally missed the sun coming out for the one time in her whole life. And they're like, sorry. We're sorry. Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry I have to squeeze your head till it explodes if you do that. And now Lewis Hamilton, he's going to get other opportunities to see the sun. He's got $150 million pretty much in the bank over the next 3 years. The guy's already a world champion. But as a race car driver, winning the Grand Prix of Monaco, that's like some punky little kid seeing the sun on some other planet. And they just took it from him. They just took it. It's never coming back. That unbelievable wire-to-wire drive, they just stole it from him with pure incompetence. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever see that thing that I'm telling you about?
You know, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm having a hard time, specific recollection, I really know.
And she's locked in the closet, and like the sunlight kind of comes through the crack of the door, and she sees like a little crack of light on the floor, and that's what she gets to enjoy. It was a nightmare. You got to look that up. Someone's going to let us know. Did our Meerkat stream start? Our scheduled stream?
I never got... No.
It didn't. This is
no.
This is preposterous. I had it set. This is ridiculous.
Nope, it's off.
Boo.
It's off.
All right, we'll get it set up in the first break. We'll get it set. We'll get it going. We'll rock and roll. We got lots to go. So that's where I come down. Vettel was second, and Lewis was third. Lewis was clearly unhappy. He handled it pretty well as you can handle it. I was greatly disappointed with NBC's coverage, the way they just leave and break away. You cannot do that. You have to tell us the story. Oh, but we were back at 5 p.m. Yeah, not the same. But at that point, it was on to the Indy 500, which is what we will talk about next. And we will open the phones. But first, I want to tell you, you know, I'm not a lawyer at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. I've got to say that. That's part of the rules. Go to WFOradio.com right now and click on the free legal advice banner ad on the right-hand side. No credit card, no obligation. It brings you to this great landing page, AmeraLawyer.com. I have gone there now, and you can see the podcast, Start or Expand Your Business Today, free legal advice for fans and friends of WFO Radio, free legal business, tax, and credit advice over the phone for listeners and fans of WFO Radio. Spiegel & Utrera, PA is a corporate law firm that has an outstanding record of excellence in representing more than 260,000 clients. Spiegel & Utrera, PA has established a reputation for honesty and distinction in the industry, especially amongst repeat clients over 40 years. And they are offering you free business legal tax credit advice over the phone via their General Counsel Club for 30 days anytime during the year when you need it. No credit card required, no obligation, completely free. I'm reading this directly from the landing page. It is my goal that everybody understands, even the great Giovanni in Miami. We were talking about this the other day, that you might not realize exactly how wide open this thing is. Like, let's say you're a realtor and you're looking for a lead generation mechanism. You're trying to grow your business. You're trying to grow your business. And you haven't thought of what to do or how to do it, buying versus leasing options on equipment or a place or a shop, turning hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, which, face it, we're talking about racing here, folks. We're talking about racing. I'm sure you have noticed that a lot of race cars are also advertising for a various business. And there's ways to do that, and the folks at the General Counsel Club at Spiegel & Utrera, PA, can do it. Why would they give away advice? The answer is that they're willing to invest their resources into you, because eventually you may need experienced legal business tax or credit assistance. IRS examinations, liens, levies, all of that stuff. They like it. They do it. This is what they do and what they enjoy. And now for friends of WFO Radio, all you got to do is go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeraLawyer.com banner ad, fill out your information, no credit card, anything like that, submit your details, and you will get a printed newsletter sent to your house, the Entrepreneur's Alert. You get a member card. You get an 800 number to call when you have your questions. I can't think of anything better out there. If you are a business person, if you are trying to start, expand, buy, or sell a business, there is a whole bulletin board where you can place an advertisement as part of the General Counsel Club. You can look for businesses for sale. And Larry is going to be joining us on the show in the next couple of weeks again, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the possibilities out there. So join the General Counsel Club by going to AmeraLawyer.com /WFO-radio, or just get there through the WFOradio.com website. The General Counsel Club, it is a great thing. We will be back with more right here on WFO Radio. We will start the meerkat when we return.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Your dad wants a tie for Father's Day. I'm afraid he's not going to get it. Because when two 10,000 horsepower nitromethane burning dragsters or funny cars face off, they never tie. Get Dad what he really wants. Tickets to the NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Father's Day weekend, June 19th through the 21st. Tickets start at just $25. For purchase the whole weekend for just $79. Call 423-BRISTOL or visit ThunderValleyChicks.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
We are back. We are now back. We are now back here on WFO Radio. The Meerkat stream is up and running. And how about Jack Beckman? You hear Jack Beckman in that Frank Hawley commercial. And I spoke with Jack the other day on Nitro, and he was great. Beckman is always great. Had a brief conversation before the interview actually started, which is something I usually like to avoid. But it just happened. And the guy's got his head in the right place. He knows that he's got a great opportunity and a lot of fun to be had and a great team, and he's going to try his best to go out there and do as great a job as possible. Richie Crampton was awesome. The NHRA Nitro show, it's definitely the best thing we do. This show is garbage compared to the Nitro show, I think. What are you laughing at? Now, Meerkat last week, what did we do last week there, Gio? We had the Secret After Show going for a while. Is when the podcast ended on WFO Radio while we did our little stuff. We continued on, you know, like our cutting and trimming and work.
After show.
After show stuff. We kept the Meerkat stream going, and we ended up with a bunch of people on there. It was pretty cool. People from far off distant places and far off lands. All of that stuff.
Amsterdam.
Right. Phones are open. I'm opening the phones in case somebody wants to call in here on WFO. They've been open, but I send out the push notification. That's the way I really get the word out, that the phones are open. They're open. But I will say that people, like this whole Periscope versus Meerkat thing is a trap. Like Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. And the reason is, everyone is following WFO Radio on Periscope. All these new people are following, and it gives that little whistle. I don't know if you heard that, but that's the best I can do.
I mean, I don't usually have the volume turned up on my phone, but the other day I did, and I heard the whistle.
It signals you. It's like, hey, somebody's doing something, and I've been getting all kinds of information on Periscope, and I want to be part of the Periscope community. I want to try it, except every time we try it, it stinks. Nobody follows us. Nobody watches. And then when we go back on Meerkat, there everybody is. And so Rich and Saugus is like, maybe you need to try scheduling it. And so I did. I scheduled it. And I figured it was supposed to go on its own. And it did not. And so we, you know, what is the answer? The answer is, I don't know what the answer is. Now, I did receive a video from one of our WFO radio listeners out there. And I'm going to play the video right now. This is Anita Michaela, top fuel European record from Santa Pod this past weekend. I guess they race on Memorial Day weekend, too. Everybody's racing. It's the greatest day in racing. The European record, a 391.2 from Santa Pod. This is UK Chris. His view. They're staging up. Crowd goes wild. It's real crazy. You see all the UK kids out there. It looks like the 1950s. They're dressed in the gear and everything. They got the look. The slick, what is that, Vitalis in the hair? The slicked hair and everything looks like a scene out of Mad Men.
The beeswax.
Exactly. So, all right, we are up, we are rolling, we are on Meerkat, we are doing everything we need to do, and we have the Grand Prix of Monaco in the books. Did you have any final thoughts? I know that you wanted to say a couple of things about, if I recall correctly, that it was a great conspiracy by the Mercedes team. At least on Sunday morning you felt this way. It is now Wednesday. Do you still feel that they called Lewis Hamilton in on purpose to stick it to him just so that Nico could win because they like Nico better for whatever reason?
I guess not.
You've calmed down now. The better part of logic got to you at this point.
If the question is, do the powers that be at Mercedes prefer when Nico Rosberg wins races
over Lewis Hamilton? Did they do
something? Question is yes.
Did they take
always.
Action? Well, why would you say that, though? Like, I don't even think that can be proven.
Okay. Logic says that the home team would want the home driver to finish better just for appearances' sake.
Because Nico is German.
Right. So the German team, Mercedes,
right,
would prefer for the German-born and German driver to win the race rather than some foreigner, some British kid.
Right, the arch nemesis from WW2 after Memorial
Day
weekend.
That's all I'm getting
at. Winston Churchill.
That's all I was trying to say. Now, I will say that Sunday morning, in the heat of the moment, I was maybe making baseless accusations. I mean, not that I would ever just throw stuff out there like that, that there's no proof of whatsoever or anything like that. But
I think you pretty much did. It was just us, though. It wasn't on the air. You're allowed to say
right,
a totally irrational thing.
Right, but basically, I did. It might have been slightly irrational for me to say that they called in Lewis because they wanted Nico to win three in a row and so forth. That might have been a bit irrational. And upon further reflection and having a few days to sort of, you know, I guess to...
reflect.
To reflect, right.
Days of reflection with which you reflected.
And I guess to have a little clarity...
that it's just, it was just too much.
It was just a split-second decision.
They made themselves look incompetent.
I mean, now it does sometimes, you know, it is hard work to make oneself look incompetent so that someone else...
But here's where you made your fatal blunder. And I don't want to say where or why you do this. But you give smart people too much credit. Because that's what you kept saying. Gio kept saying
that
they're too smart to just get dumb
all of a sudden.
Right.
Well, I have an issue when
but it happens
people
all
that
the
are
time.
Extremely smart and so forth all of a sudden get dumb.
Well, look at Pete Carroll not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch. That was pretty dumb. That's going to go down in history. They've compared those two calls. Are now Pitt Lewis Hamilton not
okay,
giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch are being discussed on the internet as which is the worst call ever.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously the run the ball is the worst call because of what happened. And in the grandeur, it's the Super Bowl. It's the biggest game of the year. And you lost a championship at that on that particular play. But I can understand the correlation, yes.
But I
would say that losing the champion, if he had lost the championship in that case, it would be more of a light comparison. While Monaco is one of the biggest races,
no, it is
not
the biggest race.
Okay, but it's still not the championship.
It's not the championship, but it is the biggest single individual race.
Right, well, it's a little different in the individual sports where winning, say, a certain race or in golf, a tournament.
Lewis,
or even in tennis, if you win Wimbledon, but you never, I guess there is no overall championship in those sports like that. But winning an individual, say, sport and winning one event.
What they lost through their incompetence is maybe inconsequential. They were both very big losses.
Right, because Lewis can go on to now just dominate the next three or four races, and he's still in first and be the overall champion, and it
could
was really he lost
two races. Potentially be a footnote in a positive season. Remember that year that I won the championship and won all those races and really got kind of screwed out of one of them? As opposed to, no, these guys
and
lost the Super
Monocle,
Bowl.
Right.
But in the end, though, smart people doing dumb things when the pressure is on and warping their logic. That's what it is. It's like paralysis by analysis. There's a whole bunch of cliches about it where people, when they're under the gun, they outthink the room and they outthink themselves. And that's what these guys did. In the end, here's the deal. And for you NASCAR and IndyCar fans, of course, we're going to get into it. But I really think that this was the story of the weekend because it was a blunder. And that's how we are. You overanalyze the negative stuff. We could talk about Carl Edwards' fuel mileage victory all you want, but there's not a whole lot to that other than they stayed out and they made it.
They had one less pit stop than the other guys.
This is a blunder. This is a blunder, and that's why to discuss and to analyze and overanalyze. But in the end, the facts are these. You have the lead at a track that no one can pass.
That's very difficult, almost impossible to pass.
Well, we didn't see a pass for the lead at all, and in the past couple of years, we haven't seen a pass for the lead, because Nico has been on the pole the past 2 years, as far as I understand. We could go back and check that. But anyway, point is, you don't give away the lead. That's one of those things.
Especially in Formula One.
You don't give away the lead. We thought we could get back. Yeah, but what if something goes wrong? What if the jack breaks? What if a wheel hub comes in? What if Lewis has a problem? You open yourself up to literally thousands of potential mistakes that have happened and can happen in the world of auto racing hundreds of times to millions of people over the existence of this sport. You should know that in the end, that gamble is not worth it. What would be much better a gamble would be, Lewis, we just paid you $150 million over the next 3 years to do what you're about to do, which is hold on to the lead on older tires.
What does his contract have to do with anything?
Because they clearly show that he is a extreme value. He is the highest paid British athlete on earth, more than all those soccer guys and their FIFA. I don't know. I'm just throwing FIFA. I mean, this for fun. I don't hate FIFA. I mean, they, from what everybody tells me, they're an extremely corrupt organization and they're pocketing their money. I know nothing about it, but I just want to be in on it. And I want it to be on WFO now, too. FIFA. So anyway, in the end, but he's a big boy, and big boys got to go out there and get the job done. That would have been a better gamble. When we're putting it on the scale, Gio, we got to make one or two decisions. We can leave Lewis out there and have him battle it out and try to hold off his teammate Nico, who is probably not going to crash them both into a ball of twisted carbon fiber. Or we pit him, we get the tires, we send him back out, he'll still have the lead if everything goes right. It seems a very easy decision. But when the pressure is on, when the temperature is up, when the cooker is cooking, it's not. And that's the thing. And for us to say that, of course, it's easy when we're not in that pressure cooker. That's why it's fun to put yourself in the pressure cooker under whatever the circumstance. Video games, whatever it is you do. Like, what do you do, Gio, that puts you in the simulated pressure cooker that these guys were in, or Pete Carroll was in? Everyone has something they do that's fun that they get to simulate that pressure. What is it for you? You can tell us later, because it might take a while. You get what I'm saying, though. People have their bowling leagues, and it's the bowling league, and it's us versus the Jesus, and they're going to beat us. You got a date Wednesday, baby. And next thing you know, it's the final frame, and Gio is up. And Gio, if you get a couple of strikes in the final frame, we win. But if you don't, we lose. And so you get to experience that moment, the pressure of competition. And maybe you'll do good and you get to feel it, like I did when I raced Matt Kenseth. Or maybe you will fail and you'll be, I've folded up like a house of cards. I'm pathetic. But it's no big deal. It doesn't really matter because it's just for fun. That's why people do those things, to feel that moment and see how they react under the pressure. And some people don't do anything and they have no idea how they'll react under pressure. These guys who have been through the cooker a million times, they short-circuited. They went with a bad idea. Too many potential. I'm a cautious player. I don't understand that gamble. That doesn't make sense to me. I would much rather my driver get passed on the track with old tires than this unbelievable, inane thing that we will remember for the rest of our lives. And Nico's like, he can't even enjoy it. He's like, I got totally lucky. I don't deserve it. Lewis was better. He was faster. He was destroying us. But I'm the winner, and I'm going to go enjoy it.
I'm sure he is enjoying it, and now he knows that forever he's got three in a row, and he's up there with the greats of the greatest of the sport.
Yeah,
oh, he's super happy, but he just can't be overjoyed in front of his teammate who's going to knock him in the head.
Yeah, he's
basically, because
he's,
you know,
not doing,
mind
this.
You, these guys do have some sort of you know, a little bit of tension between themselves already.
Yes.
You know, for Nico to just celebrate and thumb his nose at
right
Lewis,
in Lewis's
there
face,
and spray the champagne in his face, like, thank you, all right, teammate, way to go. Yeah, I think it would be a little unprofessional of him, too.
I dominated this race. I want everybody to know
that's
that
right.
This is
three
my
times
house.
In a row, this is my house. I live here. Nobody else can win here. Get out of here. I mean, what's he supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
You can't come to my house, to the streets
this
of
my house,
my country, where I live now.
I get the job done
I
here.
I was sleeping in my bed last night, Lewis. Go back to Britain, to England.
Exactly.
Go back to Britain, listen to me. But mind you, I just want to point out that Lewis Hamilton is already, before this contract, was already the highest paid British athlete.
Really? More than those soccer dudes?
But the soccer dudes aren't actually British.
Oh.
Ronaldo makes $80 million a year, but he's from Portugal. So he's still not paid as much as Ronaldo. And Messi makes $65 million a year last year. And so forth. But so he's actually still paid less than all those guys, but they're not British.
So Ronaldo is the highest paid athlete?
Floyd is actually the highest paid athlete. But he doesn't work for a team, and his is not like...
Now, we got to compare it to a guy who works for a team. Cause he's
so
like
then,
a
yes, it's Ronaldo. Ronaldo is number one last year. These are 2014 from Forbes, from last year. Ronaldo would be number one is Mayweather. He made 105 in 2014. So not this year with the Pacquiao fight. Last year.
Oh, wow.
These are based on last year's numbers because this year is still incomplete.
Happening, right.
But I
can dig
Ronaldo
it.
Would be number one of regular sports, $80 million. LeBron James was number two. He made $72 million, 19 playing basketball, $53 million from endorsements.
Oh, wow. It's just like I feel like I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. It's a lot of money. You know
but
what
yeah,
I mean?
So,
can I get 100?
Anyway.
But Lewis, he did get a big, he got a bump, though.
A huge bump, because his regular salary, according to this list, which he was 19th overall, $32 million, was $29 million was regular salary, $3 million in endorsements. So he's going to get a bump up now to $50 million just in salary. So he'll be in the $50 to $55 million range with his endorsements.
Is that making anybody else sick out there? Like, I love these guys. I enjoy the entertainment and all. I really do. But, you know, $50 million? How many NHRA teams could Lewis Hamilton fund for from his yearly salary? They say it's $3 million a year. $3 million.
Well, so you can fund about 14, 15 teams.
Ha! Lewis, you can't field the whole field.
He technically could. 16 times 3 is 48. But would he want to invest his whole salary in that?
Well, no. He'd still have two for himself.
Well, there you go.
Can we just digest that for a minute? I mean, you know, it's the greatest day in racing, and we've got to get a move on.
It is,
just
but
just digest
all,
that
this
for a
is
second.
All, look, these guys are entertainers, and all they're getting is a small commission of the money that gets brought into
their field. A fraction, a micro fraction they're getting. Obviously, someone's got to pay for the cars. Cars got to go round and round. You know, all those mechanics, they're not working for free. They're getting paid. They're the best in the business. If someone comes along, if they're that good, there's someone trying to pinch them and take them to another team. You know, everyone but the strategist. Nico's getting paid. Mercedes selling a lot of cars over there. You know, they're selling cars. Who drives a Mercedes out there in our crowd? You're paying Lewis Hamilton like a fraction. Something on that car went to Lewis Hamilton. But still, though, Gio, $50 million. And the idea that you could run 16 top fuel teams for a full season on that does kind of put it into perspective. It's a bad perspective. It's like a shocking perspective. Because we're talking about how much money it costs and whatnot.
It is an eye-opener, I will say that.
It's kind of a shocking number. That's all. All right, let's leave Monaco in the rearview mirror. Because we started the show off heavy Monaco now. We got anybody on the meerkat? Is there even a single human there?
Yes, there are six humans
this
there.
This is not enough.
Maybe more.
This is not enough. They need to be doing the hearts and the retweets, and let's get mobbing everybody. Let's get mobbing. Now, there's one on Periscope, a little blonde girl from Australia in L.A., and she is on there all the time. Caitlin or something. And just, I'm going to the grocery store, and I'm going to be with my friends, and we're hanging out at the jacuzzi, and we're eating an apple, and we're cutting up an orange, and we're walking through the grass. And
well, some people do want to be like on the reality show. They want the TVs constantly following them.
Exactly. It's a little bit insane. It's at least we've got a show we're promoting here. It's a little bit insane. WFO, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Joe. Jay Selig here. How are you, sir?
It's Jay Selig. What's up, Jay? How are you?
Fine. Thanks. Just working a little bit late, trying to get in some hours. Honest day's pay, you know, honest day's work, all that good stuff.
Unlike FIFA. You know?
Well, you know, there's corruption.
The world is full of corruption. If we did not have corruptions, we would not have comic books. Look at it that way. You cannot have, there would be no villains. There has to be corruption. Otherwise, think of all the entertainment we would lose out on if there was no corruption. You wouldn't need Batman. The Batman would be totally unnecessary. All of those things. But
exactly,
I digress. So what do you got for us, Jay Selig? I heard, see folks, Jay Selig here has already called in his question for Erica Enders, 954-889-6796. And it was a good question, Jay. I listened to it earlier. I got it all ready and prepared for Erica, who we're going to be speaking with on Thursday afternoon for next week's Nitro. And we are encouraged. Was it hard for you to record that question, Jay?
No. I've done blogs and I've done interviews with several racers, and they are just like you and me. Once you get to know them for the person that they are, you become a bit of a friend with them, so the questions come a lot easier than they were, let's say, if it was your first time interviewing her. You see what I'm saying? The more you talk to the drivers, the more relaxed you get, and
yes.
The more.
But in this particular case, the WFO audience is probably not even talking to her. They're just talking to a voicemail, and all they have to do is come up with a question for Erica, something fun or funny or interesting or out of the left field, like, wow, I never expected. And I'm looking forward to those questions, and people will be calling them in rapidly as they hear this. They will feel the pressure to call in the questions, and if not, then we've already decided we're going to shut down the whole operation.
Well, to tell you the truth, Joe, the first one with Ron Katz was very, very good. And I tell you what, though, I'm anxious to hear how this one's going to go. You know, Erica is a very honest person, and she does not pull any punches, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great to listen to it next.
Flat out, she said, I'm ready for their questions if they're ready for my answers. So that tells you all you need to know. All right, what else you got, J.C. Like,
how'd you like that finish to the Indy 500?
We have just started scratching the surface. We've really been talking about the Grand Prix of Monaco to this point. But I thought the Indy 500 was an excellent race. I thought that all of our fears about cars going airborne and Rich York saying stuff about the catch fence and all that was unfounded. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be a great race with lots of passing. Yes, there were some crashes and a lot of debris strewn out across the track. Some crew members hit on pit road, but it was not like a life-threatening situation.
Exactly.
In the end, Juan Montoya goes by willpower, winning two out of three Indy 500s he's participated in. That's a pretty good record for JPM.
amen to that. You know, interesting, talking about Formula One for just a second. I was reading this morning on Facebook, and Jacques Villeneuve, you know, from time to time, likes to speak his mind, and he spoke about the fact that Formula One is becoming boring and a bit of predictable, and he talked about the days back when his father drove, and guys like Senna and Piquet and Mansell and Alain Prost.
Who is this? Who's great, saying this? Was this Jacques Villeneuve?
Jacques Villeneuve.
Yes.
He said, Villeneuve's son.
I read that. No, I know. I read what he said, and I was interested to kind of kick around the idea. He basically said, for those who did not see, that the fans should not be considered when determining the future of the sport, was what I read. He's like, don't listen to the fans, because we've got what we've got now because you listened to the fans. The fans basically don't know what they're talking about when it comes to good racing. The racing was better back in the day. Don't listen to the fans. The fans didn't have a voice back then, and it was great. They've got a voice now, and it stinks. That's what I got out of it.
Well, Joe, as you and I know, fans make the world go around, be it baseball, basketball, football, hockey. Same way with racing. You know, if you don't have the fans in some way, shape, or form, that might as well kiss the sport goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Well, Formula One is, it's different. It's different. I mean, I agree. I agree with you. And I think we, the fans, we want exciting racing is what we want. We want to be entertained. We want excitement. That's all we want. How they do it, we don't much care. But it's not quite exciting at the moment. It needs to be more exciting. And there are things they can do. I agree with the idea that the car has to be wicked fast. That's something else he said. It's supposed to be the most extreme cars on the planet. They're supposed to be wicked fast, and that they're not. Everyone's saying they're not fast enough, and I agree with that. All right, Jay, got anything else?
Nope. Just tell everyone has a good week and everything, and just flabbergasted at all the 3-second funny car runs and all. Still can't get over it. What Reinhardt said on the show, that there have been 15 3-second funny car runs already this season. We're not even through half distance already. That's amazing.
Yeah, the stats were outrageous, and
well, I'll tell you,
seeing
what,
those threes,
Joe,
on the board.
I'll tell you one more point I'll have to make. If this was the final event at Heartland Park, Topeka, boy, did the NHRA make that place go out with a bang.
Isn't that the truth? That's a good attitude, and I hope it's not the final weekend. I hope somebody realizes that they've got a great opportunity there, and the folks in Kansas are such wonderful people that they need something. They need something out there.
Yeah,
all right, Jay, thank you.
You bet, Joe. Take care.
The Jay Selig weighing in. The Indy 500. Will Power leading, 4 to go. Juan Montoya takes the lead, wins the race. I think it's popular. WFO, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Brian in Louisiana.
Brian in Louisiana. Welcome back to WFO. How are you? Are you watching on the Meerkat stream?
I am.
Wow.
I was waiting for Jay to finish up so I could call in.
Man, that is just something special right there. You know, I'm finding all these other things. Found something the other day called Mixel, which is like the Meerkat of audio, which you can stream just audio from wherever you are. I'm definitely going to be using that from the track. That one.
Well,
no problem with that.
I think you're finding a good balance with Meerkat right now, because I think it adds a lot to the ignition show for callers calling in, because you can hear the other caller, kind of know what the topic is, and maybe chime in. And I think it works really good.
Well, that's great. So the audio you're getting on there is acceptable. We kind of have
rig.
This is the most advanced we have been. This is our most advanced setup. Wouldn't you agree, Giovanni?
Absolutely.
What do you think about the way it looks? The only problem is, Brian, I can't see the screen. It's Gio's job to be telling me what the people are saying.
Yeah, no one's really said anything.
Well, there's always a weak link in any organization, Joe.
And ours is Gio. I understand that. That's true.
Well, anyhow, I wanted to call and talk about Indy 500 really quick. I've been watching that race since I was a kid. I'm in my 40s now. And there's something about that race that I'm sure anybody would identify with, that if you watched it since you were a kid, and, it has the Memorial Day weekend, you know, going on and, you know, all the senses that are going on around it. And what I couldn't get over is when they were bringing up the drivers before the start of the race, and they bring them up in the rows of three as they are on the grid, starting with the third, you know, the 11th and going all the way to the first row. And you're looking at these drivers and you're thinking, these guys are and girls are putting their lives on the line today. And as much as I'm about safety, and I think they've made tremendous strides in all forms of motorsports, but knowing that they have to get in those cars and they really want to win and they're willing to do anything to do it, it really shows you what it takes to be a racer. And the amount of respect I have for people who can get into a car and go 300 miles an hour in NHRA or, you know, 200 plus miles an hour in IndyCar, it's just awesome. It's just incredible.
It is underappreciated, and I greatly think that what you just said and the way you said it is something that few people understand. I happen to be listening to my local sports talk down here, and they were talking about the Indy 500, and inevitably there's always one host that's like kind of for it, and then there's the other host that's kind of playing the I don't get it and racing's not a sport angle, which is so terrible. I felt like that's like 20 years ago now. It's such a boring conversation, and I immediately moved on because I want this conversation, which is great appreciation and understanding that every driver that steps into a race car must confront the possibility that they're not going to step out. And that does not happen in baseball. And it doesn't happen in football. In football, they might say to themselves somewhere deep down in their mind, you know, I could get hurt. But I really don't think they have to confront their own mortality the way race car drivers do. And if you watch those Indy cars, we saw with Hinchcliffe, that was a massive shot. Those things are flying. They're going 225 miles per hour. The dragster's 300 miles per hour. How do you explain to a normal human being, we're going to take somebody, we're going to put them in this cocoon of pipe or carbon fiber, we're going to strap them in real tight, and they're going to launch this thing like the space shuttle, quicker than the space shuttle. How do you explain that? How do you make somebody understand that? You don't. I agree with what you say in your assessment about the Indy 500. And when they are walking out there, you know, we might not know them all. It might not be like the days where it's Rick Mears and A.J. Foyt and the Unsers, where we kind of have an idea of who they all are. But the fact is that anybody that is going to go through that trial, the Indy 500, is doing something special. To complete the race is still a big, big deal, and that's saying a lot in our modern era where completing the race is not normally heralded as a success. In Indy, it still is.
Oh, absolutely, and I watched it start to finish, even through, even, you know, that started really slow, and there was a lot of talk about that, but, I mean, it was a great race, and watching from turn one, they had a camera angle at turn one, and watching those cars coming down the front straightway and, you know, whipping out in front of each other to make a pass. I mean, that is what I absolutely love. And you don't see it in Formula One and you don't see it in NASCAR to, you know, an extent. But to see that open wheel racing car do what it does, I mean, it's just astonishing. And I really want to go. I've never been to Indy.
Oh, wow.
But I think next year,
gotta
next
go.
Is the year. Because it's going to be the 100th. I mean, there's going to even be more pomp and circumstance. But, I mean, I got to go. I mean, I'm totally
got to go
right now. And
can't
I'm,
say
I'm
enough about it either.
Plans.
Can't say enough about it. The electricity on the morning of the 500, you can feel it. I know some people have said it has dissipated a bit. You know, it comes and it goes. I know that they're going to do a lot of things in the 100th year. It will be a great year to go. Maybe we should all figure out how we can go.
I think that would be a great WFO community event. That would be awesome. I'd still like to try to make it down there to Florida this year. I don't know if I would be able to do that, but Indy is
definitely Rich and Saugus
on the radar.
Is going. I'm glad you brought that up. We got to talk about Rich and Saugus. You'll be able to hear on the Meerkat. All right, Brian, thank you very much.
Okay, WFO, boys.
WFO, says Brian in Louisiana. We got spots we got to get in. We got all kinds of stuff. The poker guys are at the door already. No, on this given day, we're going to make the poker guys wait. As long as we gotta go. But Rich and Saugus had communicated to me, and also want to say what's up to Phil D, who is out there, the insider. He is out there on the Meerkat. That's kind of cool. Lots of commenting going on the Meerkat.
No, there's not. Just people liking it. No one...
liking and retweeting. Let's get mobbing, people.
That's
it, let's get
it
going on.
Flashover said earlier that he guessed he should have watched for longer.
Of course, the secret after show.
And I believe
week
this is Brian said that he gets he subscribes, so he gets the push every time.
See,
he
what happens is they know when we dump
that
a caller.
That is really
and they
the
know when
advantage
to call.
That
it
they
is.
Can call. They know when the call
they
is
they know
off.
When a caller is off. WFO, you're on the air.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Gio. How are you guys?
Great. Who's this?
This is Mattitude.
Mattitude. What's up, Mattitude? When was the last time we heard from Mattitude? I don't know. Maybe a pre-recorded call, but I don't know if we've spoken live, have we?
Last summer.
Last summer.
Wow.
Wow. Are you watching on the Meerkat stream?
No, I'm not. I'm driving.
Wow. So he didn't even know. It was just random good luck that you got through. We just hung up on a call. What do you got, Mattitude?
Not much. I was just curious if you think Gibbs has got it figured out now, or they... I don't know what you guys are talking about right now, but I was kind of curious what your opinion was. Just because Edwards won, I'm not overly confident that they've got it all figured out on the mile and a half.
I don't think... Well, it's a nice stat to have, winning the first All-Star race and Carl Edwards getting his first win with Gibbs, breaking the 31-race winless streak and locking himself into the chase pretty much. But they won on fuel mileage. They took a gamble, they gambled, and it worked out. So I would say no. I don't think they've got it. They're not on par with, Harvick.
Not at the mile and a half, at least.
No. But going definitely trending in the right direction. This is a good positive thing for them and should be seen exactly as that, celebrated. If you're a fan of Gibbs and Toyota and Carl Edwards or any of them, you know, three out of the four drivers have won, that's great. It's great, and they're going to get better. That's what the whole point of the season is to get better.
Right.
And they are.
Right. I really don't care about the rest of the Gibbs guys. I'm mainly just a Kansas fan, but he had the pole, but then he just was absolutely garbage the rest of the race. They lucked into that fourth place run. I mean, I'm being, call a spade, they did not deserve that fourth place.
Right.
I mean, they were horrible.
Well, they weren't the fourth fast.
They were 15th to 18th, but still, it's just...
But his point is, Gio, and it's funny, your name is Mattitude. Matt Kenseth is your favorite driver. It all makes so much sense now. Is that Kenseth is not flexing the muscle that he showed two seasons ago where you felt like he could go out there and win the championship. And where is that? That is the question. And I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It might have something to do with Toyota, with the manufacturer not being quite on par with the Chevys, as we see in some of these horsepower tracks.
And we just
the
lost
Chevys.
That wasn't
always...
that wasn't me. That was him. It just okay. He just disappeared.
What? Maybe that's
it's him back. Maybe he had bad cell. We lost him.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, I was saying that it might be a Toyota issue also. Like on some of these horsepower tracks, we see that Chevy does have more. You know, Chevy still dominates, so on the mile and a half, it could still be a manufacturer issue where Toyota could be still a little bit not quite as fast as the Chevys.
I agree. I don't think they've been right since the whole push rod and piston rod deal with Kenseth last year at Kansas. I think they went into conservative mode, and then they just don't have the ponies now.
You know, it could be an issue of that they've backed up a little bit to be more reliable in order... Who knows exactly? We don't know the inner workings.
This is a whole new engine combination, and everybody is still at the beginning of the learning curve, and it's going to take time for everyone to get where they want to be. And, of course, Hendrick, with the most engines and the most opportunity to learn... with the best guys in the best position, are going to learn the most quickly. That's just the way it is. But Gibbs is going to get there.
Yeah, they will, but they're a long ways away from being where the Chevrolets are.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter now. What matters in those final 10, and looks like you got to have drivers in. There's the three drivers that are going to be in, and that's really what it matters. Now, I'm looking, since I've got you on the line... We haven't gotten into our fantasy results just yet, but since you are on the line, I'm going to see where Mattitude is. Because why not, right? Got Mattitude.
Why not?
Mattitude is not in the top 50. Mattitude, where's Mattitude? 60th Matitude, what gives? Down 11 positions. Just barely ahead of Patrick. Yeah. Down 11.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. Brutal.
I'm getting beat by Gio and you.
Yeah, we're dominating you. I'm 43rd. I was down 2. I'm just slowly falling. It's horrible what's happening. But I'm still in the top 50. Gio, on the other hand, he is in 25th.
All right. I was able to maintain.
Yep. Maintaining. Now, Matitude.
Gio's going to get his name on the trophy this year.
Yeah, right. No chance. Come on. Now, the trophy's
thanks,
right
Matt,
over there. There's no way.
Probably not.
All right, Matt.
I'm slightly more realistic than you.
There you go. All right, Matt. Thanks for calling in.
All right. It's Tim, by the way.
We like your real name. Your Matitude name.
You like my racing name?
Your racing name. Well, either way.
Yes,
both.
I'm the one that put the Mustang up on your webpage.
The Mustang?
Yeah, the white Mustang. Last year, I was poking around on your website and said to insert photo here, so I took a picture of my car and put it up there.
That's awesome.
That white Mustang's mine.
Oh, very good. So you are a guy with a car. That's what we love, is when our listeners are also enthusiasts.
Well, my first love, Pontiac, but come anymore.
Yeah,
so.
It's very sad. It's a very sad thing. I agree. Got some Pontiac signage that's going to go up in the studio real soon.
Yes, I'm very jealous of yours. So.
Ah, thank you. We got to get it back going one of these days, as soon as possible.
Yes, you need to.
All right, Tim.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Later.
Thanks.
There he goes. Tim, a.k.a. Matitude out there. Are we mobbing yet? We're not
no.
mobbing?
No,
how
we're not
far away from mobbing are we?
Oh, very far. Look, here he goes. A couple of guys said something.
They're saying stuff.
Bobby, lighting is very low in studio, or is it my phone? No, it's kind of, Joe has made it darker in here, Bobby.
I made it a little darker because
somebody
the light
said
was too bright. It was washing me out. I looked like this piece of paper here.
And Brian says that his driver, JJ, decided to lose control so he could just take a break during the long 600-mile race.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Johnson's worst finish ever there at Charlotte. We're going to get into Charlotte when we come back, and we'll give the fantasy results, and we'll play the hippy-tippy, and we'll make our picks for Dover and tie up any loose ends that we may or may not have, FIFA. But we'll get into all that. But first, I want to remind everybody that this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on the Cooking Channel, is the Big Bad Barbecue Battle. It sounds so much better when you go battle. And what is happening is some northern Yankee guy who knows nothing about barbecue is going to go down into the deep into the heart of Texas. Texas Rising. You watching Texas Rising?
No.
It's a new series about the, you know, right after the Alamo was just the beginning. And it's about the birth
what
of Texas.
What channel is it on?
History Channel.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe Discovery Channel, one of those, the Discovery Family. But it's about Texas, and I'm very interested in it. So I've got it on the TiVo. I watched half of the first episode. It was very interesting. So this barbecue dude's going down in the deep heart of Texas. The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas. So you saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's excellent. So... And RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com will play a major role into the success and failure of whether it all goes down.
On DirecTV Channel 232, Cooking Channel.
DirecTV Channel 232, that is awesome. Now, how are you going to watch this? What are you going to do for the watch party? What are you going to do? How are you going to enjoy it? I highly recommend you get the WFO Memorial Day Holiday Pack at Rodax by calling 817-924-6821. I hope Marvin knows that I'm extending the holiday through the TV show. I think he does.
I'm sure if somebody called in and goes, look, Marvin, I know it's
Joe is
after
saying
Memorial
this
Day, but I need the holiday pack so I can watch the
TV show. Cook-off. Big
Send
Bad
it
Barbecue
over,
Battle
Marvin.
Center. The Chipotle Mustard Fusion. This guy sends me this and because I like the habanero endorphin booster. But I know that it's not good to stick with any one thing for too long. So I have been enjoying the Chipotle Mustard Fusion hot sauce on everything. Wasting it. Carrot sticks. And you would be surprised how good it is when you just pour like a quarter-sized circle out onto a paper plate. And then lick it.
You're disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's just something you do when you're, you know, you're busy, you're working. You want to enjoy a little Rodax, but you don't want to consume too much unnecessary calories. And so you just, you know, you just lick it. We had some Nicaragua coffee here today, but the WFO Radio Blend comes in the holiday pack, and you get the classic barbecue spice rub, which is just awesome. It is a $28 value for just $22. And right now, WFO Radio listeners can call 817-924-6821. Hey, Marvin! These guys are talking about the Big Bad Barbecue Battle. Don't ask Marvin, though. Don't do it. Don't try to ask him what the result is to the Big Bad Barbecue Battle, because he can't tell you. He had to sign a whole thing. He can't tell the results. Saw some promos out there. What's the channel again? 232?
232.
The cooking channel. 8 p.m., we got to set the DVR. Like,
that's what we really need to
do. We need to set the DVR. And get ready for the big watch party. Enjoy your Rodax during, and you'll see Marvin, and you'll see everything, and Marvin has already lowered expectations with me. He's like, you know, they could have cut me down to like 5 seconds. We need a secret ingredient. Let's go to this guy. Hey, Marvin. Yeah, okay, we got the ingredient.
This is very true.
We know that's what happens.
We know how these things turn out.
Just like my big thing with, what's his name? Idris Elba.
Yes.
I was going to be the big star, and then I didn't even make it to the cutting room floor. I didn't even get to be cut. Didn't happen. It's Hollywood.
No,
it could all
we've
go
seen
sideways.
It being extras on local TV shows filmed, you know?
Marvin said they were there for several hours and they're promoting the heck out of it. And it has to do with the secret ingredient. You should be enjoying a little Rodax while you're watching. 817-924-6821. You can get there on the WFOradio.com website. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com to find out more. We will be back with more WFO after this.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now. Now.
Your dad wants a tie for Father's Day. I'm afraid he's not going to get it. Because when two 10,000 horsepower nitromethane burning dragsters or funny cars face off, they never tie. Get Dad what he really wants. Tickets to the NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Father's Day weekend, June 19th through the 21st. Tickets start at just $25. Purchase the whole weekend for just $79. Call 423-BRISTOL or visit thundervalleytix.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
WFO! WFO!
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Hey, this is Dylan Hart Jr., and you're listening to Joe Costello on WFO Radio.
I saw Brian in Louisiana started his campaign to get Dale Jr. on the show. It consisted of one tweet at Dale Jr. like, hey, and that was it. It's not really a sustained campaign. So I've retweeted now, trying to get us, we want to get mobbing, is what we want to do. That one must be a big milestone, to get mobbing. Now, what's going on over there, Giovanni? That's a little troubling. Did you lower that?
I was lowering it over here. So what, and that lowered you also?
That lowered everything.
Yeah, you see, I don't think that's such a great idea then.
That's the final mix.
Yeah, no, this, the master board can't be over here in charge for...
What, in front of the guy who can't control his
not
hands?
Not myself, but so when I'm sitting over there and then another host, per se, that might sit over here...
Just don't touch it.
...start fidgeting with stuff, and next thing you know, I'm off the air.
Don't touch it. That's all. You just don't touch it. We made a lot of upgrades in the studio here. The WFO Studios is constantly improving. And the reason is this Meerkat deal and Periscope and all of them are just an example of what we want to do. We want to do more things with people and images while keeping and retaining the integrity of the podcast. It took me a long time to just get to the point that to figure that we're doing a podcast. Because people, you know, used to be a podcast with two guys in the back room, you know, talking about, we're talking about comic books. And... sorry, comic book people, but it's true. Now podcasting is big time now. But apparently it's you know, soon going to be a new, an outdated technology as well. So let's get into the, you know, I never gave the Indy 500 results. Let me just blow through them real quick. Juan Pablo Montoya wins the race, and Montoya, I think, is a deserving guy. There's a guy with a great resume.
Oh, I think someone on this show might have predicted it last week that Montoya was going to win.
Did you pick him? You picked Montoya? You were winning?
Recall that? You don't recall that? I think you went with Marco after a while. You were like,
I think I forgot that.
You were going between Graham
yeah.
and Marco.
They finished fifth and sixth. They couldn't decide amongst themselves.
No, it's all right, but I picked the winner.
Yes, good job.
JPM.
JPM, Juan Montoya.
Showing that IndyCar is easy to do. Guy couldn't only win two races in a, what, eight-year career in NASCAR. And he goes to IndyCar, and he's winning the 500 in his second year back. That's, I mean, clearly, superior driver.
It's got to be simple. No, or the type of racing is just easy. He was able to dominate his competition easily in IndyCar. But against the NASCAR drivers, he was unable to dominate them. So NASCAR is harder than IndyCar.
That's what it sounds like.
I can hear NASCAR fans all over the country making that argument. And you can see the basic logic. Juan Montoya over Will Power, who was second. Charlie Kimball third. I was in those late laps. I was kind of hoping that Kimball could get up there and make a move. That's cool. This Charlie Kimball, remember a couple of years ago he came on the scene as like a, you know, like, who is this guy? He's up there a lot. Kimball's up there a lot.
He competes.
He's a talented driver. He is. Scott Dixon, fourth, led a ton of laps on the day, 84, in fact. Charlie Kimball led 10. Will Power led 23. Juan Montoya just 9 with that late race pass with 4 laps to go.
Well, Juan had an incident at the beginning where...
he's back in 30th.
Right. I think he was involved in the first caution. What was that?
Tacoma Sato. You're making
a ridiculously terrible move in the first lap, and everybody took out the youngster, Sage, is his name?
Yes, Sage Karam, thought was going to win the
and
race.
And then Juan got caught up in that caution. He slowed down, and I believe our friend, the girl, ran into him. Simona
DiSilvestro.
And so he had a little incident in the back, and they changed that back wing, which, mind you, I realize, I guess I hadn't noticed before, like, it's so small, it doesn't have a big wing anymore.
No, it's got a teeny tiny wing.
Yeah.
That's the aero kits.
Yeah, the aero kit is...
They don't need as much wing anymore because they got all that body work there.
How I feel about that.
It's just one moment in time. They're not where they need to be just yet. If I made the Indy cars... you know, there's a design of a Ferrari out there, the Ferrari F1, future Ferrari F1. Have you seen that?
No.
I'll find it. There's also a Red Bull, a future, like, I think the days of open-wheel racing, I think they need to just get beyond it. Keep the same idea of open-wheel racing, but they need to put bodywork on the front of the cars too. Because it's just wing and points and winglets. I think we're over it. It's never going to be as cool as it once was back in the day. And we're all waiting for that. The first time we saw it, the first time you see anything is the best time. And these Formula One cars, look, they've been refined and refined and refined for 20 years now in the wind tunnel. And we've seen it all. Same with the Indy cars. Look at this. They let the wind tunnel people go crazy with the aero kits. And this is what they got. And you know what? It's not that cool. These things in front and behind and all this just stuff on them. It's stuff. They need, because that's what it looks like. It looks like an open wheel car with a bunch of stuff attached to it. That's not what they need to do. They need to go from scratch, new design. I know they did that just a couple of years ago. But that's the thing that's a problem. See, this is why Jacques Villeneuve thinks the fans should not have a say. Because we always want more. He's right. I want away from spec series racing.
Yes and no. At the same time, when the cars are more equal, is when you can really find out the differences between the drivers.
Yeah, I guess. But
okay, but
it's got to progress. There has to be a progression.
But what is the progression? Like, Indy cars used to look the same for a really, really long time, that they all had that same kind of the open wheel look.
Yeah,
and now they have
evolved.
This weird body.
They evolved. There's no evolution going on. It's just the same. This year was different. They tried something different. I'm saying that. They tried something different, but it's just cars with different stuff on it. It's like a turtle with a different shell. Not a turtle, though.
They visually do look different.
They do look different. There was lots of passing. There was lots of aero. I'm going to show you those pictures, and then you will understand what I'm looking for.
I thought the race was interesting.
It was
fun.
Great.
It wasn't
completely
boring or anything like that. Although it did seem like if Scott Dixon was kind of running away with it, you know, on and off.
Listen, somebody's got to be the leader, and that's fine. Look at this.
I thought it was entertaining.
It was.
I'm happy that no cars got airborne. Rich predicted
at all.
That the catch fence was going to
come
be
here.
A
look
big
at this.
Star.
Get over here. They're giving us some like big
techno.
Music.
Whoa!
Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, that has got some of the Indy car look to it. But they went all out. They went extreme. They went outrageous. You're not going to be able to do that.
I'm not going to touch it at all.
Don't touch anything. I will turn.
Joe is.
I will make a modification.
There you go.
So everyone can see what
I'm
talking about.
I'm going back to my cave.
Yeah. Like, to me, you know.
There you go. That's the best picture. Those like that. Yeah, that almost looks like a futuristic.
It's open wheel.
Like one of those kind of old school, those cars that they never build, that they're just prototypes.
Right. I think it's awesome. In this area here and the wing, it's not. They're not far away from this. They need to just take the step. They need to be radical. They need to stop with this incremental little step forward and be radical. That's what everybody needs to do. We need to stop pussyfooting around with everything. And you need to go big or go home. I just like saying that. Go big or go home. Better yet, just go home. I just want to go home. All right, so there it is. That is the Indy 500. And so now we have completely altered the outlook of the studio here, which is fine. And just like that, we got to get into a little NASCAR. A little NASCAR. Which, you know, it's a nice end to a nice day. It's a long day. And if you're an NHRA fan, you...
Oh, man, that was kind of terrible.
You missed everything. Like, NHRA...
What they were showing, was it college baseball, right? Men's college baseball. I believe it was, like, ACC or something. Florida State might have even been playing.
Reinhardt says that they were holding off the broadcast because the race wasn't done.
I find that difficult to believe.
Some of it.
The broadcast didn't start till like, 10 o'clock at night.
Well, later, after SportsCenter.
Well, it wasn't. It was scheduled to start at 10, and it didn't come on till I want to say 11:30. So I don't believe that at 11:30 at night on the East Coast they were still racing in Kansas, an hour earlier.
7:30 was the final.
Right. Well, that would be 8:30 on the East Coast. Maybe they were still trying to turn to production, but I find that difficult to believe. The baseball game was going on. It had been rain delayed, and that went through. They were in the seventh inning at 10 o'clock when the coverage started. And I remember seeing that, and I switched the channel, and I went, maybe I was watching the basketball. I don't even remember anymore. But I kept periodically checking back, and then the baseball game ended about 11, shortly after 11. And I guess it was some sort of tournament action because they had a...
Tournament.
Whatever. They went to Sports Center right after. I thought it was going to be just a quick Sports Center in the commercial break and come back after the break with the NHRA. No, they didn't come back with the NHRA till about 20, 25 minutes later.
Oh,
it was extremely annoying.
That is annoying. Well, I didn't get it on my TiVo.
Well, I was lucky enough to be awake while all this was going on, so I quickly went on there and I put the next two things to record after the coverage was scheduled to end. And so in the morning, I watched everything.
So I just want to point out that ESPN.com has crashed my computer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Too many open windows.
Too much to handle. I overtaxed it. Done bloated up. So, Gio, you're going to have to bring up the NASCAR results.
Oh, sure. No problem.
I mean, I know Carl Edwards won the race, and Greg Biffle and Dale Jr. They all made a gamble at the end to stay out, and it worked out for them. I find myself wanting, I don't understand what's up with Charlotte, that we can't get like exciting finishes either with a 10-lap sprint or a 600-mile race. Neither one turns out in an exciting finish. But I guess it is what it is. You just got to deal with it. Because you watch the racing, you enjoy the racing, and that's that.
Well, right, because last week it was too short or whatever, and now this week it's too long.
It's too long. And it's fuel mileage.
I guess that extra 100 miles always works out that somebody's gambling on fuel mileage here.
It's just fine. It puts them right in between a fuel run where some people, if they plan, they can make it. And that's what happens. And it turns into a fuel mileage race. And this is it happens a lot. And I don't think people like it, but it is what it is. It's a way to win a race. Some people win fuel mileage races.
Well, in this particular case, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't kind of like that truck race last week or the week before that no one could make it, and everybody just started running out of fuel at the end. And
I like that better when everybody runs out of fuel.
But this was a case where six cars all took a shot, and I think they all made it, and the top four were able to maintain the lead over the guys that pitted.
Anyway, all right,
are you back on?
I'm back on. I'm mostly back on. We're mostly back on. Have I mentioned this segment that Erica Enders is going to be taking questions from the WFO radio audience?
I don't think I've heard that recently, no.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. How did you get her to do that?
I don't know. It's just that we must have a great rapport with the stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, including Erica, who is the only female to win a Pro Stock World Championship, and the reigning Mellow Yellow Pro Stock Champion is going to answer questions from WFO radio listeners. And all they have to do is call them in, 954-889-6796, not now while we're doing the show, because we'll just answer.
That seems simple enough.
Simple enough. And ask Erica a question. I'm really hoping that people are coming up with fun questions. You know what I mean? Something fun and silly. Like, if you got to stop at a fast food place, where are you going to stop?
Right.
Silly stuff. Carl Edwards wins the race. Greg Biffle was second, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. third. Dale Jr. is having a pretty strong year, I got to say, if I do not say so myself. Needs a couple more wins, though. Matt Kenseth, fourth. I should have mentioned to Mattitude that I had beaten his guy in a go-kart race and see what he thought. I get a lot of mileage out of that stat. Wait till I play the audio. I still have the audio. I haven't even broke it out yet. Martin Truex Jr., fifth. Martin Truex Jr.
had a race.
131
he's
laps.
He's never going to win a race.
No. That's the thing is, winning is hard. Winning is hard. You can have the fast car and you can do it, but they're getting there. They're sneaking up on it. They're back to where they were a couple years ago with Kurt Busch. Remember that?
Yes.
Ryan Newman, sixth. Brad Keselowski, seventh. Denny Hamlin, eighth. Hamlin had to go to the care center afterwards. He got dehydrated. He said it was his own fault because he played golf.
Frail.
And tennis, and all the racing, and 600 miles.
Yes, I don't know about all that. He shouldn't have been playing golf and tennis in the morning. Then.
Well, that's what he said. He said he overdid it.
I find it difficult to believe that Denny Hamlin woke up on Sunday morning and decided he was going to go play golf and tennis before having to race that night.
I think he did.
I mean, am I the only one to think that he... I mean, like, what the hell are you thinking,
we
dude?
Started the show off when smart people go stupid.
Yeah, it's that's usually... Good. There's usually a hot chick around.
It's like when animals attack. That happens. And usually there is a hot chick around. Maybe some hot chick invited Denny to go play tennis.
Yeah,
hey, Denny, maybe it was Anna Kournikova. Hey, Denny, you want to go play tennis with me? Yes. Don't you have to run 600 miles tonight? Don't care.
I would ditch the race for Anna Kournikova.
He made it. He finished eighth. Good enough. Kevin Harvick, ninth, just proving he doesn't always finish in the top two. Kurt Busch, 10th. Kyle Busch, 11th. That's a good run for Kyle. He looks like he's back. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. He told the 18-year-old that it was past his bedtime not to stay up for him.
Later, kid. KFK, 12th. Joy, 13th. Paul Menard, 14th. Jeff Gordon, 15th. Jeff Gordon has been hired by Fox.
I thought we knew that already.
That was NBC.
Oh, so now he's going to do both?
No. Something went down there. Maybe this is a Geo tool, but he's now on at Fox. Like, I think maybe he had been hired by NBC, and I think Fox hired him away. Because I had definitely announced on this show that Jeff Gordon was going to be a color commentator for NBC. But now it's Fox.
Okay.
Alongside of Darryl Waltrip. Why don't you look that up for us? But it's going to be Darryl Waltrip, Jeff Gordon, and Larry McReynolds is getting bumped out to be the, like a race analyst. He won't be in the booth. He'll be downstairs with Chris Myers, which is fine. So you're going to have Gordo, Waltrip, and Mike Joy. Which I like it. I think that's going to change the face of NASCAR. I think that more Jeff Gordon is better. Austin Dillon, 16th. Eric Almirola, 17th. Chase Elliott, 18th. Jamie McMurray, 19th. Clint Bowyer, 20th. Hey, great run for Tony Stewart. 21st, Gio.
That sucks.
There
dude.
You go. What do
it's
you mean?
A
no,
run.
It's
that
a good
sucks.
Run for your guy. He's only a lap down. That's cool. One lap down.
Was he the first car lap down?
No, yeah, no, right. He wasn't. It's like the fifth car.
No, look, man, I'm sorry. Don't patronize me, dude. That sucks.
What are you yelling at me for? This is your guy. You know, you should got to find the silver linings.
There is no silver lining. The guy hasn't figured out the new package.
Finished in the top half.
I'm thinking he's a little bit, you know, not that interested in figuring it out.
He wasn't looking at Danica's rear end. She finished 22nd. Here are the drivers looking at Danica's rear. Casey Mears and Sam Hornish and Kyle Larson and Alex Bowman and Trevor Bayne. And Cole Witt and A.J. Allmendinger and Michael McDowell and Brett Moffitt and Michael Annette and David Gilliland and Matt DiBenedetto. And Josh Wise is looking at Danica's rear end. And Alex Kennedy and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. update the scoreboard.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know I was going to have to keep this updated every week.
All year long. All year long. We're going to do head-to-head Danica versus the boyfriend. And Danica gets another one. J.J. Yaley, 38th, 39th, Landon Castle, Jimmy Johnson, 40th, worst run ever at Charlotte, David Gilliland, Ryan Blaney, and Justin Allgaier, Lil Gator.
Jimmy Johnson, I'm going to say that they were trying stuff because he was, like, out of control early, then he came back, brought it towards the front, and then out of control again.
In the All-Star race, they did the same thing, too. Just I love when great drivers spin out and crash because sometimes it can look a little too easy to people, and that's not good. It needs to be hard. And the only way that race car drivers can prove that it's hard is by spinning out and crashing. And when Jimmy Johnson...
Especially when it's Jimmy Johnson.
When it's Jimmy Johnson spinning out, people say, wow, that's hard. If Jimmy Johnson is crashing... All right, now it's time for Fantasy League results. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready for the Fantasy League results?
I'm ready. Bobby was asking about that earlier.
Bobby Graham, down in the bayou. Bobby Graham. Hopefully everyone in our WFO audience is okay with all that flooding that's going on in Texas.
Rich and Saga says they took the wrong guy out of the booth.
I don't disagree, Rich and Saga. I have great respect for Darryl Waltrip, and I like him as a person, and he has been very kind to us personally to come on the show. However, if we're being extremely critical, I think that the sport can benefit by having the booth be extremely mainstream. And I also think that Darryl's takes, his takes, are not
I just
that
think he's
insightful
not,
anymore.
And it's not the insightful. I just think he's, you know, he's kind of a little bit more grandpa-like now.
I don't want to say that.
No, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I just don't think he can relate to the younger audience at all. In a way that what does he bring for them? The younger people that we're trying to get to into the sport.
Right.
They need to hear from a guy like Gordon that's about to retire, and it's great that they're bringing him in there. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
But
DW, too old.
Who really? Even we didn't see the best of DW's career.
No, we didn't. And look,
we're 40.
This is a horrible thing about the entertainment industry, and one of the reasons we started WFO Radio, because I am never going to fire myself. I'll be here as a really old slobber. You know, like, me and Gio will be in here, and as long as you suckers keep showing up, we'll keep doing the show because it'll be fun. But when you're doing a big broadcast like a NASCAR thing, you have to really divorce yourself from like. And I like Darrell Waltrip a whole lot. Like, I like DW as a driver, and I like DW as a personality, and I like Darrell Waltrip 100 different ways. But the takes are not doing it for me. He says a lot of things on the broadcast that I feel like are extremely obvious. Like, oh, you know, he's going to give it a real try. Or stuff like that. Like, we could overanalyze if we want. But in the end, I think Rich Insaugus is right. Rich is attacking Darrell Waltrip here on the show. I think that Jeff Gordon, Mike Joy, and another guy that is skewing younger would be really good. Who is it going to be? It's going to be Kurt Busch. Let's get him out of there. It's going to be Kevin Harvick. Get Harvick out of the car. No, it's got to be Gordon and someone. It's tough stuff. It's a tough call. You know, how do you decide that? It's going to happen eventually. You can't just stay there forever. You got to have fresh takes. And this
they got to be relevant, really.
It's got to be relevant. It's got to be accurate. It's got to be... Anyway. We'll see what Gordon brings. Maybe Gordon will stink. Who knows? Weekly winner in the Fantasy League.
Okay.
Big Mike Racing.
Hey, Big Mike!
357 points, followed by Robertson Racing at 349 and Junior 2448 with 328. Four Zilch Racing was fourth. Hot for 48 is fifth. That's Mindy.
Okay.
Mike English's special lady friend. Last year she was Love Team Jimmy J. Now this year she's Hot for 48. Federal Racing was 6th. Checkers or Wreckers 7th. Flashover Racing is 7th and tied with Team Jimmy J. So I'm confused. So maybe she's not Hot for 48. And Mrs. Black Ice 10th. Welcome to the top 10, Mrs. Black Ice.
Wow. Where's Mr. Black Ice?
Failing. Most points is Big Mike with 357. The biggest gainer is Checkers or Wreckers with 23 positions gained. The biggest loser is Goodyear Racing _ Justin Clapper. He scored 0.
Oh, whoa, that's
0 points. That's it. He quit. Quitter. The overall leader continues to be the Rumblers by just 9 points. Robertson Racing is 3rd. Big Mike Racing is 4th, 51 points out of the lead. Junior 2448 is 77 points out in 5th. Pavlov's Dogs is 6th. Hot for 48 is 7th, just 97 points out of the lead. 8th is Up in Smoke. 9th is Mr. Where Did He Come From? And 10th is 5 Can Drive. And I bet you right now Rich Insaugus is freaking out because I didn't say his name. He's 2nd. The only reason I did that was for fun. Just to give him a little mini heart attack. He's only 9 points out of the lead, Rich Insaugus. Do you realize
That's just picking the poll winner in 1 week.
Rich Insaugus, the Rumblers, Robertson Racing, Big Mike, these people that we just listed here, they all are in excellent position to get their name on the trophy over there. This is a much bigger deal this year. It's not just like you're in the lead, you're winning, or maybe you'll lose. This trophy exists. That did not exist at this time last year. It wasn't even a thought in our mind at this time last year. It happened at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals that Tom Patsis of ColdHardArt.com says, you know, yeah, I'll do it. And then he called me in Maple Grove and said, what do you want to do? And it
showed
up. So that
was sometime in the fall.
Yes.
September, October, November, end of the year.
Yes. It is a big, big, massive deal.
Yes, Rich. 9 points, Rich.
Nine points.
Now
on the fives. 15th is Barbie. Money Man is 12. Little Low's Gin Cone's hanging in there at 13th. How about Little Low?
Making a run
Little
for the
Low,
front.
Up seven. Making a move, man. Making a move. They can taste it. They can see their name on the trophy. They can feel it. 15th is Barbecue Bob. 20th is our friend Bull's Wool down under. Geo Racing is 25th. You are trailing Miss Little Low, though. She is ahead of you.
Oh,
30th is Steve the Trucker, just ahead of Mike English. 35th is DRT20. 40th is Craig in Sonora. I had Sonoran hot dogs. Did I tell everybody about that? I ate them.
Yeah,
they were good. There's a lot to the story, but I had them. They were good. 45th, Fairy Dust.
You fairy.
Where's the audio? It's not the same.
You fairy.
You know, Mike Race Guitar, one of the guys out there, came up with a whole hashtag. You fairy tales.
That and it is was, pretty
It was.
Comical.
It was, and you don't even have the audio. Where is it?
No, I had an issue with it. We'll have to discuss off air. I couldn't get into that place that I was getting it from. I don't know if I have to log in now and open an account or if you already have an account there, but it wouldn't let me in. Maybe I went to the well one too many times or something.
You should have downloaded it instead of relying on the web.
You know, I probably should have sat there one day and just recorded every single one of those from one to the other.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I just don't have time to sit around and do this all day long.
Well,
no one says
anything about all day long. How about 10 minutes? Kyle Means Petty is 50th. 55th is Vegas Rules. Vegan Rules. Vegas Rules. That's Bob Smith. 60th is Matitude 20. We just talked with him. Hey, Tim. 65th is Schooners Limited, just ahead of Colombian Bam Bam. 70th is Mominator 48. Oh, down 17. Probably in big trouble. 75th, Never Stop Improving. 48, Never Stop Improving. Just behind Curling Kid. Curling Kid is still playing. Curling Kid, 74th. Come on, Curling Kid.
Oh, what are you doing, Curling Kid?
Gee,
yeah, are you still upset I broke the hockey stick?
James Gang is 80th. 85th is Going Chad, 882. 86th is the Dirty Hippies. Up three, though.
Epic fail.
Up three. He's clawing. No, he's fighting.
He's not out of it yet.
He's squirming. DRT Girl is 90th, tied with Thunderbolts and Lightning. 95th is No Heartbeat Racing.
Very, very frightening.
Pugzilla is climbing, still continuing to climb.
He's getting away from the Car Acrobatic
He's
team.
Pulling
he
away.
Pulled up two.